you wouldn't believe the gap that it creates for, like, closes for you on your learning. I don't know if all of you know this, but one of the things that we'll teach you inside of No BS when you join is we want you listening to the course itself over and over again. Each time you hear something, you only retain about 20% of the knowledge. So today you're going to learn this method. You'll learn about 20%. You'll probably apply about 10%. That's why it's important to re-listen to things over and over again. So for the members, for all of you who end up joining, all of the courses are there for you for the lifetime of your membership. You get to take them over and over again, and you have an opportunity to ask coaches questions, come to coaching calls to discuss things, and really work through your stuff. So for all of you, though, who are using the free stuff, the best tip I have for everyone, since you don't have people to ask questions of, is to make sure that you take notes with your hands as often as possible so that you learn as much as you possibly can. I think that's about all that I wanted to cover. Oh, the replays. Don't forget that if you're watching this and you have to leave, the replays are all on the Replay Hub. It's at pnp411.com/foodiseasy-replays. All of the videos will come down on Sunday morning. So once we close the membership, we take all of the free stuff down. So make sure that you watch everything. Anything that you're going to want to watch, anything you're going to watch again, you're going to want to make sure you do that, because everything retires at that point. And then in March, when I do this again, you'll have fresh content, new content, and stuff like that. Okay? I think that's everything. So let's talk about good, better, best. I love this topic. I love all the topics. I really do love this one because I developed this method to free women up from having restrictive food rules, to make it really clear that all foods are okay. And so let's do it. Number one, this is how we're going to categorize the food you eat so that you can make new decisions for yourself. So I'm going to give you this simple process. It is easy as all get out to do. And there's zero reason why any of you shouldn't do it. But it helps you take all the foods that you love and all the foods that you eat and simply categorize them so that as you're making your daily plan, you can include things you love on there. It also helps you see that there aren't going to be any good foods or bad foods. I don't care if you're fucking eating ding-dongs and Twinkies. They go on the list. They have a place. There's nothing wrong with them. If you like them, I want to teach you how to eat them in a way that you truly enjoy it. You look forward to it. You have zero guilt after you have it. And you're still losing weight. That shit gets to happen. But it only happens if you unlearn that, ooh, my Twinkies, my ding-dongs, those are bad. I shouldn't have them. Oh, my God, I just had a bad day. Where are my Twinkies and ding-dongs? I need to check out for a minute. And then you just eat them like fucking bullshit. That is the behaviors that have to stop. And that's only going to stop when you start getting over all your diet rules and that broke-ass mental bullshit that you've got. The last thing is the good, better, best method. It spotlights a good mix of foods that taste good, feel good, and that work for you. All right. So I want to talk about this for a second. I have like what I call two different people. And a lot of you are sitting here in one of these two camps. If you're one of my members, you're an OBS woman. If you're not one of my members, you might be what's called the hopeless dieter. This is a hopeless dieter mindset, so you're going to know if you're there. Number one, you probably feel hopeless. You're sitting around going, I don't know if this is going to work. Nothing's ever worked for me before. It's just so hard for me. Like, the hopeless dieter mindset, that's the things that they think over and over again. And it is because as you've done diets all of your life, you've been conditioned to do restrictive plans. One of the reasons why we feel so hopeless as a dieter is because all the plans out there, what they do is they take away everything you love, give you food you don't, some you do, but mostly food you don't, that you never look forward to, that you don't find any enjoyment out of, and you're making yourself eat them all the time. And after a while on these restrictive plans, guess what happens? You need a break. You can't keep doing it. It's no fun. You don't want to wake up and make yourself do shit all the time. And then especially on a day, let's say you've had a week during COVID. Kids, all of them in a different Zoom call, trying to figure out which one of your little squirts is going to get your attention. Why are you trying to make sure your boss don't fire you because you're sitting there being a homeschooler all day long, along with trying to hold down a job. And you got all that mom guilt, like, oh my God, my house looks like a fucking wreck because of all this shit. And you're doing a restrictive plan because, like, oh, I really want to lose weight. Well, the problem is by Friday, after all that shit, you don't have any making yourself do shit in you anymore. And it's, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, it's why it's so important that you understand that the reason why on Friday you can't follow through, it's not necessarily even just the plan itself. It's the mindset behind the plan. It's the mindset of only these foods are going to work for me. A hopeless dieter, fierce food. I can't put these foods on there. I always overeat them. We forget, though, that the only time we're eating them is when we're at the end of our rope, when we have no emotional bandwidth left. Of course you're going to overeat them then. And then a hopeless dieter thinks there's a right way to eat. There's no right way to eat. You know what there is? Today, how am I going to lose weight and make it as easy as possible on myself? That's the best way. The best way is the way that I can honor myself today. Feel good about my choices. Have energy for these. Like them. Know that I've taken care of myself emotionally, physically, and all my future. And then the other thing that a hopeless dieter falls into all the time is good food and bad food mentality. You hang on tooth and nail that there are these bad foods. And the problem is that if there's bad foods and you eat them, even if you plan for it, even if you are like, I'm going to have a day where I have my foods and you look forward to it, there is always a greasy rub left behind. You eat them and you feel bad about you. If that food's bad and you've put it in your body, there is just an inescapable mental connection that somehow you've been a bad person. And that's why people feel like a hopeless dieter. They just keep going back to the mill, doing the same old shit over and over again, expecting to somehow lose their weight and feel amazing. It's really hard to feel amazing if you lose all of your weight and you still fear food. You don't know how to eat your favorite things with control. You think that there's this right way to eat. And if you, after you've lost your weight and you decide to start giving yourself some treats, now you start thinking you're doing wrong things. Because if there's a right, there must be a wrong. And the good food and bad food mentality. It's really hard to be happy at your goal if every time you eat something that's on the bad list, if you think you're bad. That's why I tell you guys, like, of course you're going to be thrilled with yourself when you lose your weight. Of course you're going to feel better about some things, but it's fleeting. You being thin becomes a new normal, and then everything that you've been dieting with, all of those fears, all of those restrictions and stuff, they're still sitting there feeling the way they feel. Without the payoff of the scale going down, you being excited about, woo, another week that I lost weight, all of the confetti's gone. You're just left with, here I am. I now weigh my goal weight. I get to wear the clothes I want to wear. But, you know, every time I eat a potato chip, I feel like the world's worst human. I feel like I'm out of control. I start immediately worrying I'm going to gain my weight back. That's why we're doing this class today. You all deserve to be a no BS woman. Every single one of you. Being a no BS woman isn't someone who does the four basics. Being the no BS woman is someone who has a mindset around her body, around her life, and around the foods that she eats. She makes very doable plans every single day. She knows her life is different day to day. She knows she has different seasons in her life, and she rolls with it. She's there for herself. She plans for that stuff. She doesn't try to keep herself stuck in a restrictive box that this plan should work every single day, no matter what, even on my birthday. She's just in charge of her food. She knows that nobody else makes her eat. She's always the one choosing. And if she's the one choosing, she knows she has the power to make a choice at any moment that can be the best one for her. no matter what's going on. Even if an OBS woman can catch herself in the middle of a binge and say, you know what? I think I'm done. Right now, I'm in charge of my food. I literally coached someone this weekend on that. She decided, she was like, you know what? I just really wanted to binge. And I made this decision for myself. I'm going to binge, but I'm not going to do it like I normally do. I'm not checking out. I'm sitting at my table. I'm going to eat the foods until I decide to stop eating the foods. And she wrote the whole time. And she was like, it was one of the biggest lessons I've ever learned. That's an OBS woman. An OBS woman's not perfect. An OBS woman doesn't need to be perfect. An OBS woman's just there for herself. An OBS woman works on herself. Her food plan is filled with foods that's right for her life and her tastes, not for some douchebag from the gym who gave her a plan because he thought that that would help her get skinny and cute. And she knows that no foods are off limits. They're just planned. Foods are just planned. That's it. It's as simple as that. So how do we do the good, better, best method? Everybody, please, now's the time to start taking your notes. And I'm fixing to tell you exactly how to do it. I'm drinking coffee. They've been, just so you know, guys, if I cough a little bit, there's a lot of dust flying around my room. All right. So how do you do it? Number one, we need to understand the three types of food there are. There are good foods, there are better foods, and there are best foods. That's it. All right. So let me describe to you the three types of food first, and I'll tell you how you are going to make your own food list. The first one is called good foods. Good foods taste really good. Their job is very simple. Hey, girl, you want to put me in your mouth. That's their job. They're sexy as fuck. They taste good. You want it. It's like, woo, best thing that's ever happened. For me, my good foods are like just junky nachos made with potato chips. Like, I like nachos with the cheese and the potato chips and all the things on them. I love Milk Duds. Milk Duds are one of my favorite foods. I like going and getting me, what is it called at Dairy Queen? Everybody has a different name for their, there's like a Blizzard and all this other stuff. I like the Dairy, not the Dairy Queen. I like the Sonic version, mainly because there's a Sonic down from my house. But I like to get the cookie dough one. So like good foods, their job literally is just to make your mouth happy. That's it. They're not supposed to be doing anything else for you. So I want you to all be really clear. Good foods, their job is to make mama happy. Period. End of discussion. Next is what we call better foods. Now, the better foods, their job's a little different. Their job is not only to taste good and make your mouth happy, but if you ate them, you could lose weight too. So, like, I like to think about my better foods. If y'all have been following me at all in the podcast, you know I like me a dry-ass Weight Watchers pizza. I also like the Weight Watchers macaroni and cheese. They're just frozen dinners that are easy, get the job done. I love them. So I like to think about the better foods. It's like protein bars, snack bars, things that we get like low-fat ice cream, stuff like skinny cow ice creams, stuff like that. Are they going to like nutritionally get the job done? No, but that's not what their job is. Their job is to taste good and help you lose weight. And you just find the ones that you like. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you, before you start overcomplicating this, don't be overthinking it yet. Just listen to what I'm saying. We will talk about categorizing later. The last column is your best foods. Best foods, not only do they taste good, so you got to like them. They need to make your mouth happy. They help you lose weight. But their perfect trifecta is that they make your body feel physically good too. So when you eat them, you're getting nutrition. You actually like them. So, and like you can lose weight eating them. So like I like to think about steak is for sure on my best foods list. Things I put on my salad, cheese. I put ranch dressing, like my full fat dressings. To me, that's my best foods. Best foods are going to be giving you nutritional powerhouse kicks. Now, it doesn't mean they have to be like any kind of potato can go on there. Like a lot of times you guys get hammed up on bread. I think bread can go on there. Good. Like, think about it. Like, good, whole grain, like healthy bread. All of that goes on there. So for all of you who are sitting here wondering, can carbs go on there? Fuck yes, carbs can go on there. You are a woman. Women need carbs. All right. So how do we do this? It's very simple. I want everybody to take out a sheet of paper. If you have the workbook that came along with the Whole Food Made Easy Challenge, you can use that. There's a page in there for you. Just want you to draw two lines so that you'll have three columns on your paper. I want you to title one column good. I want you to title one column better. And the other one's called best. Guess what the fuck goes on those lists? Everything you like to eat. I don't care if it is a ding dong all the way to a Brussels sprout. It has a place on this list. The reason why this is important is because a lot of times when you guys start losing weight, your brains are very conditioned by hopeless dieter rules to go to all the foods you can't have. And then your brain lights up with all the foods that are bad for you. And that is, like, I want all of you to think for a second. Just take a deep breath in and blow it out. When I say this term, I want you to think about how you feel in your body. Bad food. Can't have that. It's something I shouldn't eat. You don't feel good. It probably feels constricting. It feels limiting. It's a little bit sad. No one is probably sitting there going like, yay, I'm so ready for someone to tell me everything I can't eat. And that's the problem. It is very hard to lose weight, keep it off, and do it for life if underlying everything, you have this sense that there are things that you can't have. And I will tell you the thing that I see that's most heartbreaking is that women who fall into this trap of diet mentality, when you think, I can't have things, it makes you feel a little inferior too. It makes you feel as if something's wrong with you. You know, other people do it. Why can't you? Why me? And that is why it's so important that when you are doing weight loss, we have to uncover everything that makes you feel bad. All of the thinking, all of the things that come up for you. Because if that's under the surface, no food plan will be able to long-term work for you. If you're not addressing all of these things, guys, I promise you, diet after diet will fail. We're not meant to feel bad for a long time in order to be happy. But that is how most of you keep trying to lose weight. I'm going to feel really bad for a long time, just a little bit restricted, a little like I'm not normal. I'm going to sit around for a long time and deny myself anything. And then this one day I'll get to be happy. Yeah, you'll lose weight, but you'll still have every fear around food. You'll still feel like you're always going to have to be restricted. You will have all of that still sitting there while you're also thin. It's a terrible price to pay for thinness. And it doesn't have to be that way. That's why it's so important that we start focusing on mindset when it comes to weight loss and not just on the foods you eat. So that's why I like the good, better, best method. It's very simple. It opens the door up to all the foods that you get to have. And I will tell you, there are actually bad foods. I'm fixing to tell you exactly the bad foods. So everybody get prepared to write down what you should never eat. The ones you don't like. Everybody, please write that down. The only food that's bad for you is the shit you don't like to eat. If it doesn't taste good, quit trying to choke it down. If you don't like it, quit trying to choke it down. If you want to try it to see if you like it in 3 months because your taste buds change, Go for it. But fill your plans with stuff you enjoy so that you can start now just eating them when you're hungry and stopping when you've had enough. You're not overeating anymore because of all the restriction and denial that you go through. Now, if you have diabetes or a major health condition, there's about 5% of you who have a doctor who says, like, you probably shouldn't eat these foods. They're going to kill you. Well, guess what? Those are foods you actually don't like. You may like the taste, but your body is saying, I don't like you. You make me shit my pants when I eat you. You're killing the pancreas when I eat you. Now, for some of you, you don't have to cut all of it out. Just start by making some subtle changes. Look at your list. This is what I encourage all of my members to do. So if you're one of my members, when you go through No BS, we're going to be doing some good, better, best work. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some of the foods that you've been eating, and I want you to make sure you do the list. And I want you to plan from that list so that you always know, like all y'all that are sitting around saying, I don't know what to put on my plan. Do this, and then you got a lot of fucking food to pick from. Pick something. And if you have like the majority of the foods that you pick in the beginning are good foods, fine. But then every week, take a look at the foods you've been eating and ask yourself, is there anything from the better or best category that I'd like to try to throw in this week? Maybe I'm ready for it. Let's see. Like, I want you to be thinking about weight loss in an easier format. What you're ready for. What you want to try. What you're curious about. What might work. And these are the things I don't want to change right now. These are the things I'm going to keep. So the goal is to make sure that you have a food plan that you're going to follow. The best way to lose weight is to have a plan that you can follow. And the more you can follow your plan, the easier it is to only eat when you're hungry and stop when you're done. That starts ending the deprivation cycle that we're all in. All right, so here's the warning. Please do not overthink this. I know that your brains are probably lit up with what about this and what about that and blah, blah, blah. Your old thinking is going to come up. That is the point of the good, better, best method. It is for you to see all the things, all the rules you try to apply. So I want that to be on your blueprint. Remember, we've been talking since the very first day when I kicked everybody off. If you haven't watched the kickoff video, make sure you watch it because I talk about everything that we're doing. Some of you are going to still overeat. Some of you are going to want to plan too restrictively. You're going to want to do these things. I want on your blueprint, that's the stuff I'm going to have to unlearn. So if for you, you think, well, there's just no way. There's no way I'm going to be able to eat carbs. I know I can't, even though I eat them all the time and I don't suffer any health consequences. I just overeat them, probably because I tell myself that I can't have them all the time. You want to put down in your blueprint, one of the things that you're going to need to unlearn is your fear of carbs. You're going to need to learn how to have carbs in a way that feels natural and good and gives you energy and allows you to really enjoy it. That's going to have to be an obstacle to overcome because I want all of you who are carb phobes to think about this. If you don't overcome getting over carbs, you've set yourself up to overeat and be out of control on them for the rest of your life. I haven't met anyone that can successfully just give them up, like maybe for a year. About the longest term I usually see people is a year, 18 months. Then at some point they start introducing them. And guess what happens? They go ham on them. They go throw everything that they've done right out the window of being able to follow their own rules and stuff because they never practiced eating something they were scared of. They just practiced being scared of something. They only practiced villainizing something. They only practiced something being wrong. So the moment they started eating it, they immediately went to their wrong. So if you don't start working on these mental things that keep getting in your way, guess what? No matter what diet, this is what I like to think about. That blueprint with all the mindset stuff you need to overcome, any diet you plug in, if you don't work on that seriously and daily, guess what ends up happening? Every diet you plug in runs into the same brick walls. same restrictions, same kind of quitting, same kind of fear of food, same stuff over and over and over again. Sometimes it takes 3 weeks, sometimes it takes 3 days, sometimes it takes 3 months. But those things do end up derailing you if you're not working on the mindset piece. That's why we focus so much on mindset around here, because I know that that's what we all have to overcome. So I don't even give out a food plan. Nobody needs one. If you don't fear food, you can eat it in, like, eat it only when you're hungry and stop when you're satisfied. You just lose weight. Period. It's really that simple. All right, so hopeless dieters, they're forcing themselves to follow plans. They get exhausted with dieting, need a break on the weekends. They're constantly telling themselves, well, you know, I can't have that. Or they don't even do it, like, obsessively. Like, you'll, like, catch yourself all week long going, ooh, I'd like to have that. I wish I could have that. I can't have that. Like, it's the little things. They wonder how long they can hold out on their weight loss, and they overeat to take a break. Hopeless dieters are always like, I just need to eat something to take a break. And then the Nobius woman, she follows her plans willingly. She's setting them up to where they're super easy. And then on the days that she doesn't want to follow her plan, she's not so worn out emotionally from overthinking her food all the time. It's not that hard to just do it. She's motivated by her choices. She knows that she can have what she wants through solid planning. She likes what she eats, and she has no need to escape another diet ever again. She's setting herself up for life. All right, let's get to questions early today. I want to make sure that I can get through as many as I can. All right. Let's see. Well, I didn't record anything. I will, I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to record the questions. Kathy, I will re-record all of this. Now, it says recording paused. Yeah, I'm not recording. But here's what I'll do, Kathy. I will, when I get off here, I'll do it one more time by myself, teach it one more time, and then we'll just add it to this. All right. It says that I'm not recording on my side, so I don't know what's happening. But anyway, now it says I'm recording on my side. Kathy, do you know? It now says it's recording. Okay. Anyway, let's do questions. Nothing throws me. Let's just say that. All right. Kathy, are you in here answering some of these questions? I like the live. I'm not sure what that first part says. I really am my own worst enemy and beat myself up while eating, which makes me want more and more because I'm a stress eater. How do I push past this inner voice, which I know is my sabotage? I've lost weight before and restart the beat up process and restart eating out of control again. Any suggestions? April, I think the problem is, is that for you, you need to lose weight and learn how to not beat yourself up through the weight loss process. Probably what's happening is that you are, hey, Kathy, don't kill the question until I finish answering it. Sometimes I go back and read certain parts that they ask. One of the things that I watch people do often is while they're losing weight, they're really good at making themselves stay on something. And every time they make a mistake or like if they don't lose weight or something happens, they beat themselves up a little bit, but they can like strong arm themselves into it. Eventually what happens is you get to a point where you lose the weight or you lose enough weight to where you're not so focused on the weight loss that the inner critic becomes louder and louder and louder. So I want you all to think about this. This happens a lot. If you have an inner critic that's a little bit of an asshole, let's just say, we all have a judgy bitch on the inside. That's just the way the brain is designed. There's nothing gone wrong, guys. It's just some of our inner critics have been left to rant for so long that we're not exercising any control over them. So when you first start losing weight, you get hyper-focused on the weight loss. You start thinking, one day I'm going to be happy. You're basically telling yourself, like, okay, I can breathe a sigh of relief. I lost weight this week. I don't have to beat myself up. I don't have to do this. You're not really talking nice to yourself and stuff. You're just distracted by the weight loss. And you're using any of the successes as a way to just, let me just take a quick breath before I go back underwater. Let me just take a deep breath before I go back underwater. All right. So it's not like you're feeling real good about yourself. You're just not feeling bullshit terrible anymore. Because if you're doing something about your weight loss, you're focused on that. You're not focused on the fear and the anxiety so all the time. So we transition. We get down to where we've lost the weight. We don't have a lot of the focus of the diet. We don't have a distraction of our weight loss and stuff. So what we're left with is the inner critic that's been there all along. It's just not been as, it's been muted by this other stuff. And all along while losing weight, you never learned how to like yourself. You didn't learn how to like enjoy yourself and be proud of yourself. You just learned how to get so focused that the other voice wasn't as noticeable. Well, it always comes back. So that's what ends up happening. And so the one big reason why I see so many women end up losing weight is they don't have a process for unwinding the inner critic, and they don't know how frequently they're going to have to work on it. It is a daily process. I want you to think about it. If you're going to bitch at yourself every single day, there's no team days off. It's team no days off when it comes to unwinding the relationship you have with yourself. It doesn't hurt to do it, but it does take work. That's why so many of you, like for all of you who are thinking about joining, if you know at the end of the day how you talk to yourself, your mindset stuff, that's really going to be like, all right, I know that's going to be the make or break for me. I know I could listen to the podcast and get lots of cool tips from Corinne and weekly inspiration. Like I could do that. But if I'm not hearing it all the time, if I don't have a plan for what I'm going to do when I have mistakes, if I don't have a plan for what's going to happen when the scale doesn't cooperate, if I don't have people to ask and all that kind of stuff, if I don't have that, I'm likely to not be able to recover because my inner critic is so broken. Like that's why you would want to, that's one reason why you want to join. Because what I hate to see is someone work so hard to lose her weight, get to the end, then all of a sudden the way that you've been thinking all along now has a voice. There's nothing left to distract you from it. There's nothing left to drown it out. And that is a very common problem with women. Now, a lot of you don't even make it to the end. This also happens. This is such a good question, April, because so many women suffer from this. A lot of you will be at a point, like a lot of you are probably at the point right now where you're so miserable with like, I don't like my body. I don't like my weight. I just want to lose weight so bad. I'm just so sick and tired of eating my face off, like whatever's going on for you. And so you get to where you want to do something about it and you get really focused and you go all in and you're so excited and all this other stuff. And you're really good for like a few weeks to a few months. And then when you get to the point to where like, well, I'm just doing it. I don't have to think about it as much. I'm not having to focus. Like I'm just in the role, like kind of like I've got some momentum. All of a sudden, your douchey thoughts start back up. They're not drowned out anymore. Your old thinking starts coming, like it never went away. It just wasn't, you couldn't hear it because you had a shiny diet, because you were doing these things. And so some people blow up like after the first 20 pounds, or they blow up halfway through, and they blow up because they were losing weight, they weren't changing the relationship on the inside with themselves. You didn't learn the process of how to unconditionally love yourself. You didn't learn the process of what it's like to make mistakes and learn from them versus like, oh, I just got to keep going. I can't afford to make a mistake. And blah, like there's a frantic energy that you push yourself into keeping on going. Eventually, you kind of like how you start to look. You're starting to feel some success. And now you just want a little break. You don't want to be so frantic around your weight loss anymore and stuff. And then that's where it all starts coming back. All right. How do I handle my environment living with my thin husband constantly talking about how he is being bad when he oversnacks or overeats? I keep correcting him because I find it triggering. Anyhow, it is. Sharon, quit correcting him. Here's what you've got to quit trying to, like, here's what I need you to do, husband. I need you to start talking different so that I can feel different. What, it's fine if you want to say, like, hey, I've been learning about good food and bad foods. If you want to come at it from an educational standpoint, but here's what I want you to adopt, Sharon. The problem is that you are right now practicing, if I could just get everything set up perfectly, then my weight loss would be easier. You're putting all of the power of weight loss being easy outside of you in uncontrollable factors. That is the last place any of us need to put our weight loss. Into the hands of someone who's always been bent? No, they don't get it. They don't know. God bless him. He's never had to worry about this. He grew up just like the rest of us, being taught that there are bad foods. He probably goes on the internet every day. He probably turns on the TV and sees, like, ooh, you can have all the foods you love in this tiny little package. You know what that message says? Foods you love, you shouldn't have them unless we've, like, Frankensteined it for you. That's the only way you can have it. Or you better earn it. Like, thank you, Weight Watchers, for making me exercise to get extra points all those years so that I started realizing that the only way that I got foods I really like and in the volume I want is to kill my fucking ass at the gym, to ruin my relationship with exercise. That is the message that we all get. So what I want you to do, Sharon, is I want you to think about this. When he says, I'm being bad, when he's over snacking or overeating, I want you to use it as your opportunity to be like, and this is my moment for me to remember what I'm doing for myself. When he says that, don't judge him. Look inside. Every time he says it's like, and that's my cue to remind myself, oh my gosh, I am unlearning so many things. This is amazing. I am so proud of myself. Like, I know that that is such bullshit. I'm so proud of me for knowing the bullshit now. So whenever the bullshit is said or done around me, I don't have to be triggered because I know the truth. That's how I would handle it. That's you taking control. That's being an OBS woman. An OBS woman, here's one thing an OBS woman doesn't do. Look for somebody else to take care of her ass. It's a no. It's a no. You build your ass. You take care of your ass. You lose your ass. Whatever you're doing, your ass is your responsibility. It is not then husband's. Sarah, how often should we reevaluate our GBB lists? I'm just starting out, so my list will be different now than it will after I lose some of this weight. As often as you want. It's really as often as you want. You could do it once a month. It could just be like a fun exercise you do every month. You could honestly, like, once you guys do this list, like, and start like losing weight the way that I teach you, what you'll find is one day your mindset will switch around food and you'll never need to do this list ever again. Do you think I sit around and do this list? Don't need to. I've learned there are no bad foods. I just plan my food. I plan shit I like to eat. Enjoy the fuck out of it. Last week, I had a piece of cornbread with every day. I had a salad and I had me a piece of my sister-in-law's cornbread. I will tell you, years and years ago, I would have thought that I couldn't have cornbread. There's no way you can have cornbread and lose weight. There's no way you can have cornbread and, like, you know, eat shit like that, southern food like that. And it's like, no, I can probably plan for a slice of cornbread and be just fine. Cornbread ain't my issue. My issue is when I'm eating or drinking because I feel bad. That's my issue. So eventually what happens is that what I teach you guys is a lot of these systems and processes that I teach you, one day you're just thinking like a new person. Like, I don't have to sit every day and write love letters to myself anymore. I've already practiced thinking loving things about myself on paper for so many years that now those things happen. When I think the old stuff, I don't have to panic and think, oh my God, I'm having old thinking. I just have done it for so long that now my brain automatically says, but what is right? That's the beauty of all this stuff. The way that I teach you inside the membership is we get it so habitual and so ingrained in you that one day you just wake up and you're like, I just think different. People in my life are telling me, like, what are you doing? You just seem happier. Ask my members. They will tell you all the time. Like, they're big. My proudest moments is when I go to our private Facebook group and it's post after post after post of someone who shows up in their life different because of the mindset work we do in there. We had a lady yesterday, I'll probably cry, Miss Kitty, she's a grandmother. And we had a long exchange yesterday. I'm not going to go into all the details because this is it was private for her, but she has a granddaughter who was five, who accidentally took a lot of medicine yesterday because it was left out by accident. And her granddaughter's on the spectrum. So, of course, I'm like going in there because I'm always very, you know, very sensitive to all my people that have kids on the spectrum since I have one. And her post was that she was so angry. She was so upset. She had all these emotions. And she said, but you know what? I'm going to the hospital. And I'm so grateful for Thought Work because I just want to love my granddaughter. And I've refused to eat over something like this. That is what makes our program different. I guarantee you, Oprah ain't teaching that shit. It's more than just the weight loss. It is about changing how you feel, about yourself and how you show up in the world. When we do stuff like this, I know it makes your weight loss easier, but it makes your life easier. I'm not just trying to make it easy for you to lose weight. That is just not the best goal for you. The best goal for you is not only like, do I want to lose weight, but I want to learn to love myself too. And I don't want to wait 50 to 100 pounds to do it. None of you should have to suffer with yourself until you lose weight and then fucking earn your own love. That's bullshit. We have to start learning how to not only like ourselves, but have such respect for ourselves that in moments of tragedy, that we have our own back. I have a lot of food sensitivities due to my Hashimoto's, and I literally feel like all food is bad. I'm in tears right now because I don't know what to eat just to not feel like an inflamed balloon all the time. I'm sorry, Stacey. I truly feel hopeless as I don't want to just eat kale and sweet potatoes. So if you have a lot of food sensitivities, we do have a subgroup for people with special dietary needs. The mindset I want to tell, just to help you out, Stacey, is right now your brain is very focused on all the things you can't have and how that is so bad. My Hashimoto's is so bad. All I want you to do is to, you do not have to love Hashimoto's or anything like that, but I want you to start telling yourself, I have Hashimoto's and I will figure this out over and over again when your brain wants to make it a bigger deal than it needs to be. The reason why I say this is a lot of you will want to argue, no, it's killing me. It's all these things, blah, blah, blah. You feel like ass and you feel depressed and sad when you think about it that way. If you want to keep that line of thinking, just know that in order to hang on to that story around it, you also are making yourself hang on to the feelings that come along with it. So one of the best things to do to feel some relief is to start thinking, all right, I have Hashimoto's. I'm going to figure out what I can eat that I'll also like. Over time, I'm going to figure this out. Like, stay in the mindset of putting your brain to work on where you want to go with it, not putting your brain to work on how terrible it is for you and how it makes you suffer and stuff. That takes daily religious practice. And then what you do is you start looking at the foods and you just start being really honest with yourself. I did this with drinking. I like my wine. I'm going to tell all of you. I have been working for 2 years now on this. And one of the things that I decided to do was before I started figuring out, like, what are my limits with wine going to be like? How often am I going to drink it? What role do I want it to have in my life and all this other stuff? I had to be real honest about how it was making me feel. And one of the things that I did was I just tracked how I felt. So, Stacey, the foods that you do eat that inflame you and stuff, I want you to write about them. Like, these are the physical symptoms that I feel when I eat these foods. I want you to get it down to where you're seeing the foods as, this is just the things that happen around these foods. But I don't want you focusing so much on, but I wish I could eat them. I want you, because it was like me, I kept thinking, I just wish I could drink wine every day. Like as much as I wanted. And it was such a painful thought. Because to be able to drink as much wine as I want every day means I also sign up to having a wicked hangover, weight gain, wine ass first thing in the morning, headaches, sometimes fights with my husband. It meant all of that stuff too. But I wasn't focused on that. I was only focused on the buzz, the moment. And so I had to get really clear on all of it. So for, if you're dealing with wine, if you guys, if you are dealing with, I need to be on specific diets because of my unique health condition, I think the first thing is just getting really honest there. We do a lot of work on that kind of stuff inside the membership. We do set, we'll just tell you guys, it's the mindset stuff. Like everything comes back. It's mindset, mindset, mindset every single time. It's crazy how when just trying to jot down my good, better, best foods, I instantly can think of the best because it is the dieter mentality, the foods that I should be eating. I find this is what causes my unhealthy binges on the weekend because of the deprivation. How do I keep working on being okay with eating daily foods that would be considered bad to help me with the weekend? Chrissy, the first thing you have to do is you have to start introducing some of these foods and quit calling them bad. Just every time, just be like, no. I am learning. I will tell you one of the strongest concepts for all of you. And I just, for all of my members, if you are coming to our 3-day virtual camp on self-love, I was writing about this. One of the most powerful statements that you can tell yourself is when you think there's bad food, say, I'm unlearning this thought. There are no bad foods. There just aren't. There are all these great best foods that I know are really good for me and that they taste good and stuff. But there are these other foods too that I'm going to learn how to eat in a way that truly makes me feel great at the end of the day. Because those foods aren't bad. But when you binge on them, you have a lot of bad thoughts about yourself. The foods never did anything to you. The foods don't make you go out of control. The reason why is because during the week you're telling yourself, I've got to be good. I've got to be good. I've got to be good. I can only have these foods and blah, blah, blah. That is stressful. It's very stressful for people. Most of us grew up with parents that were all had high expectations and wanted us to be good and all this other stuff. If you didn't like that bullshit when you were growing up, don't be trying to parent your today self that way either. I have some foods that do make side effects in my body that I don't love, but will sacrifice to eat them on rare occasion. Is that considered a good food in that case? It's all good food. If it tastes good, it's a good food, guys. It just, for you, that like for me, wine is a good food, but I also know that some of my good foods, there's a price to pay. Like when I drink wine, like red wine is one of the things. For me, red wine, I get a bad headache the next day if I drink 2 glasses. I love red wine. It's my favorite. If I drink one, I get rosacea breakouts. Me and red wine just don't get along. So one of the things that I do is I make sure that it's on my good food list, but it's like all of my good foods, I know that those are foods that I want to plan wisely. I want to plan them when I'm really going to enjoy them, and I want to plan them when the next day I'm okay with the side effect too. It's all the mental work that goes in behind it that matters. I'm a grad student, work full time, and I'm a mom and wife. Where do I find time for all of this? Here's how I do it. So I run a huge business with all kinds of employees. I have a son on the spectrum who's homeschooling right now. My husband works for me. People tell me all the time I'm very busy. I'm always like, I don't like to think of myself as very busy. So what I like to think about is where, rather than asking, how do I find time for all of this? I like to think about, what am I going to get done? What's most important? I just prioritize. So if you want to like plan every day, you know you need 2 minutes to yourself every single day. 2 minutes. No plan should have to take you more than 2 minutes. You want to listen to a lesson? Get your earbuds ready to go. Keep them charged. I listen in the shower. I listen when I'm brushing my teeth. I listen before I go to bed. I consume more content. I might as well be a grad student. I'm going to tell you, most people who are in school almost can't hold. I probably do 10 to 12 hours of self-development on a light week, every week, on top of running a business and stuff. But here's how I get it done. I listen to things constantly, and I listen to them over and over again. Everything is at 2x speed. I just make sure I listen to shit. But my mindset is one of, I never think I've got too much to do. My question is always, how am I going to make this easy to get done? Where can I find my time? Like, I just always put myself straight dope into the control part. I never think about my life being too busy for me. I'm like, no, it's my life. I signed up to be a mom. I signed up to run a business. I signed up for all this stuff. So if I want to find time, I know I can. The best thing, so I teach this in our time management course on the inside. I tell people all the time, we sleep 8 hours a day, some of us. We work 8 hours a day, and then we have 8 other hours every single day unaccounted for. Most people never really think about their time that way because they're always thinking about time like this. I don't have enough. Most people, like even if you sleep, say, 10 hours a day and you work 10 hours a day, you still have 4 hours every single day. Most of us, though, are going through life, looking at our life, snacking. Like, I can't tell you how many times I wasted time in a drive-thru, eating shit I didn't need to eat. That was bullshit. All right. Can y'all tell me, can you hear them sawing right now? Okay, let me just tell them real quick. They're going to need to put a pause on that. Hang on. Yeah, everybody can hear. Hang on 1 second. All right, let's do one more. And then people are confused about the better category. Just guess at it. Here's the funny thing about it. Your good, better, best categories, even if you put, like, maybe it's actually a good food and you put it in the better or whatever, it doesn't really matter. The whole point is for you to be thinking about your food, like to be thinking about it, not to be like sitting there and just never thinking about it or only thinking in the way that you've always thought, which is I'm only thinking about it in terms of I can't have that or that's a bad food. It's to redirect how you're thinking. That's the point. All right, guys. If you asked a question, we're at our hour. If you asked a question and you didn't get it answered, here's what I suggest you do. Take it to the Facebook group. We're answering questions over there. I will be putting this replay over there so that you guys can get a chance to ask even more questions and stuff because I couldn't, like, we'll put the video in there. That way you can rewatch it. It's also on the replay hub page. So make sure that you go there. We will be taking everything down on Sunday. So make sure anything that you want to watch and take notes on that you get it done before Sunday because these videos will expire. Okay. Other than that, I will see you tomorrow for opening day. So for all of you who are going to be a No BS woman, I cannot wait. We just put the finishing touches today on everything. We are ready for you. We are going to welcome you with all the open arms and do all the things. There are emails going out tomorrow. We'll post it in the Facebook group. Everything. If you go to joinnobs.com after midnight tonight, you can join. So midnight central. Guys, y'all have a wonderful one. Tomorrow we're going to be finding our why. Why is all this so important to us? Why do we, and like, it's not just one sentence. We're going to be finding all the whys. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.